The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, the Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. After a few recording delays, a holiday break, and another bout of COVID, we are back with our reviews of the player cards in the Path to Carcosa Investigator expansion. This time, we're going to take a look at the Mystic cards in the box. In this episode, we discuss Alchemical Transmutation, David Renfield, St. Hubert's Key, and Astral Travel. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Before we get started, a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a +1, 0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Cards that you build around or cards that are good in one particular deck get a Bless Token, while cards that we believe are destined to end up on the list of taboos or are simply bad for the big game get a Curse Token. Before I get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. You all rock. If you'd like to be amazing like these people and support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Special thanks to Cole Monroe Chitty, Nicole Fiscus, and Nate Lost in Time and Space for their contributions to the channel. I couldn't do it without you. Without further ado, let's get started. Welcome back to the channel, everyone. We have reconvened after many months apart, it seems. We had some people were busy, people were sick, but we've got the gang back together to jump into the reviews for the Mystic cards in the Path to Carcosa Investigator expansion. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, Man from Lang. It is good to be back in the rectangle.
I kind of like my rectangle too. You'll notice my rectangle's changed a little bit. I got these like nice boxes that store thousands and thousands of Arkham cards.
And it is also worth noting that Matastrophic is very well lit now.
Yeah, new ring light. Yeah.
Very evenly lit.
So. Yeah, very evenly lit. New ring light.
It's all that YouTube ad money. That's what that is.
Well, it is because, you know, I read somewhere that like the brighter your face is, the more the algo, you know, pushes you up.
Now, if we can only invest in some plastic surgery for both Matastrophic and Nate so they have a constant shocked look on their faces, because I hear YouTube likes that sort of thing.
YouTube thumbnail right here. Alchemical Transmutation.
I didn't realize we were becoming that channel.
Speaking of Alchemical Transmutation, that is the first card that we are going to discuss in this batch of reviews. It is a one-cost asset with a willpower skill icon. The spell trait uses three charges. As an action, you can exhaust Alchemical Transmutation and spend one charge. Test Willpower 1 for each point you succeed by. Gain one resource to a maximum of 3. If a Skull, Cultist, Tablet, Elder Thing, or Auto-Fail symbol is revealed during this test, take 1 damage. And Alchemical Transmutation takes up an Arcane slot. Thoughts about Alchemical Transmutation?
Man, this card's bad.
Yeah. You have to exhaust it?
It seems like one of those cards that you read it at first glance, you're like, oh, I could make some money off this. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I see what's going on. And then you're like, no. No.
Yeah, because you gotta take
a might take a damage or two, you gotta waste an action, first you gotta spend 2 actions just to play this thing, then another action to actually use it. So it's like, you've already invested 2 actions to hopefully get...
And a resource to play it.
And a card out of your hand. So you've invested a lot of time and resources just to hopefully get an emergency cash.
Yeah, that's true, because the hard part is, like, in this game, just taking tests for the sake of taking tests is rarely a good thing. Unless you're, like, in very specific circumstances, like you're playing, like, Mateo. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're like, oh, I take tests and I make Elder Signs. You're like, in that case, yeah, taking tests is good. Yeah, but here it's like... No, it's not really, because I think it's like it's difficulty of 1, and then you gotta, if you hit 1, you get nothing. So you gotta have difficulty 2 just to like get a single resource. And so even if you're a 5 willpower mystic, like what's gonna happen is, like, let's say you're testing at 5, you get a -2, that's a 3. You've gotten 2 resources, you know, after spending a resource and 2 actions. So you're ahead 1, but you're really behind on actions, like the first time you do it.
You could have just spent those 2 actions gaining 2 resources.
Exactly. Or you could have played Emergency Cash. in the same slot, and you would have just been up three, and you wouldn't have had to deal with any of this. I do think that part of what makes this card stock go down is a card we're going to be talking about in the later on, Mr. Renfield, because he kind of solves the resource problem anyway for Mystics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's kind of a shame that this is in the same set as David Renfield, because he kind of does it right, you know, and just it does it efficiently. It's kind of bad.
I think the other issue with this card, and it's more so a victim of circumstance, I think, because later on in the Mystic card pool, you end up wanting to draw symbols, and so cards like this and kind of extent shriveling, you end up wanting to draw symbols. Like Jim wants to draw skulls, and there's a lot of Mystic cards that get released further down the road that like drawing symbols, and
so that's true.
Sort of antithetical to all of that.
Uh-huh.
And taking damage is often not great at a Mystic either, unless you're like specifically playing parallel Agnes,
or you're killing off your Arcane Initiate.
Yes, or perhaps a Renfield or something like
there
that.
There you go. Yeah.
Barring those circumstances, taking damage is bad, I hear.
Yeah, and that and also this takes up an Arcane slot, so you've got two Arcane slots. You're going to want to use one on your damage spell and one on your clue spell, or maybe an evasion spell. But that between those three, spell slots are kind of tight if you're asset-based already. So if you're going to do something that's, like, going to give you an emergency cash, maybe, it's not worth it.
Yeah, this card is pretty terrible in solo for all of the reasons you have mentioned. Costs one, takes two actions before you get anything out of it. It has the whole Mystics are playing around with Dark Forces thing where it can actually damage you in the solo format. Having to waste an Arcane slot for this when you really need your damage spell and your clue spell to actually do the stuff in the game, this is just not very good, and kind of makes me mad that it was actually printed at all, considering it's in the same set as Renfield, who does the whole resource thing better, and Uncage the Soul, which does the resource thing better.
Oh my god, you're
right. So it's in the same set with two much better solutions to the resource issue, and I cannot see any reason to play this card. Now, I will say that its stock goes up a very, very tiny bit with the release of Edge of the Earth and Dragon Pole, because Dragon Pole gives you the extra arcane slot, and you want to be filling those arcane slots, and between Alchemical Transmutation and Scrying, they are the two cheapest level 0 arcane slot filling spells in the game at one.
I see. If you just need to fill a slot.
So people did start to play this card in those sort of Dragon Pole decks just to fill an arcane slot. The problem is you're not actually playing the card for its ability. You are just playing it because it is the cheapest asset that fills an arcane slot that's available. And then you immediately, once you earn some XP, you immediately spend that XP to get rid of the Alchemical Transmutation and put something better in your deck.
Like any other spell. Yeah, I think if this costs 0 to play and the difficulty was 0, I think you'd have a niche there.
But that costs you 2 XP. Because
basically
the upgraded version that's available in Return to the Path.
It's one of those cases where the Return to version is what the original version should have been. You know, except add XP. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of those. So, yeah, if the Return to version, you know, where it cost 0 and the difficulty was 0 was like the base version, then I think the base version might have a niche, because then at least you're not down a resource for playing it, and you know, you're more likely to get your maximum of 3 if the difficulty was 0. Plus it avoids the problem of like you bail outright, like you draw, like if you draw a symbol like a, say, a cultist that adds a doom to the agenda and then you fail because the difficulty is 1 on this, you know, you're gonna be crying and your friends are gonna throw their beers on you. So if at least if they made it difficulty 0, then you wouldn't have that problem of like it really backfiring.
How would we rate this one?
Well, I think fittingly it has the auto fail symbol on it, and thus I must give it the auto fail.
So I need the proper YouTube reaction for this card. Let's work on this. What's the YouTube reaction? Would it be, or would it be?
Or is
Yep,
it
that's it. It's
sad crying face?
no. I think it's actually the dough. I think it's actually the facepalm. All right, here we go. YouTube. Here's the YouTube version of of my rating. It's an auto fail.
Typically, I would give this an auto fail. I'm going to bump it to an elder thing just because of the one. It's the cheapest mystic asset in the game, and if you need a level zero asset to fill an arcane slot, then it's fine. It does that job. You'll immediately get rid of it. But yeah, I think this card's a trap. Like, if you're a new player and you're like, hey, this is going to generate a lot of resources for me. No, it won't. And you will play it, and then you will discover that it does not do what you want it to, and it's taking up a slot that you have far better and far more important things. And then if you just look at the next card that we're going to talk about, you will realize there are easier ways to generate resources. Speaking of generating resources, David Renfield, esteemed eschatologist, 2-cost asset with an intellect skill icon, ally and patron trait. While David Renfield has at least one doom on him, you get +1 willpower. As a free triggered ability, exhaust David Renfield. You may place one doom on David Renfield. Gain one resource for each doom on David Renfield. He has 2 health and 1 sanity, and he takes up an ally slot. And that is a fine, fine shocked face, Neurostrata. This is, I mean, David Renfield is so good that he has hit the list of taboos twice for essentially 2 different reasons. The first time was because prior to Amina Zidane's release, something must have happened in playtesting, because suddenly there was a great deal of panic that David would be busted in Amina. So they tacked on, was it 2 XP to David?
Three.
To 3. Man. 3, when actually David, like, Amina doesn't really have a great level zero ally. In fact, I don't think she has a good level zero ally at all, and David was probably the closest thing to a good ally that she could have had. And so they decided to stick him on the list of taboos and tack 3 XP on him, so Amina couldn't have him. And then decided that no, actually that wasn't the problem, and changed that. And it was actually apparently a scenario in the Scarlet Keys that plays with Doom in a slightly different way than every other scenario in the game. And so David was busted in that scenario, so now they capped him at 3. So that's the most you can the most resources you can gain if you're playing with the tabooed version of him. But David is an amazing ally.
Oh, yeah.
Can't really I know there's a lot of people who are just like, oh, just generate as many resources as and then sack him as quickly as possible. I tend to value his +1 willpower a great deal.
Oh, yeah.
And so I tend not to actually add. I add one doom to him and then just keep him around. And I might sack him if I'm worried, but I find in solo the doom thresholds of agendas is generally pretty lax.
I see. Okay.
So you can get away with a doom and not be punished for it too badly. What do you guys think about David?
Yeah, I think kind of a similar thought to Manfrotto and two player. Like that one doom generally isn't what's going to ruin your game. And if it is, you have the opportunity in most games to get rid of him before it really does matter. But yeah, I also value the +1 willpower because it comes at such a cheap rate.
Exactly.
Like, it's
Yeah.
basically free. You play Renfield turn one, you generate a doom, get a resource back. You're already, like, generating value off of him. And then throughout the rest of the game, he's providing you a willpower boost, which, if you're thinking about something like, oh goodness, what's the name of the talent that generates willpower? Arcane Studies?
Yeah.
The thing about like arcane studies, you have to pay resources to get free weird power. It's like, this guy's giving you, you know, he's giving you the milk for free. He gives you the willpower boost and the money to pay for more willpower boosts. It's like, that's sweet. And then obviously there's the trick where once you get to the witching hour of certain agendas, you can bump up the extra doom, get an extra resource off of them, clears, and then you just do it all over again.
Yep. I think if you're a relatively new player with a small card pool, the fact that Renfeld's willpower stacks with Holy Rosary is like, it makes it very easy to get started on a Mystic. You play like Agnes, you have 5 willpower. You play David, you play Holy Rosary, you're at 7. That's all the willpower you're going to need for the whole game. And it's very cheap. So, I mean, there's that. Plus, I like how David has 2 health soak, which most of the Mystics at this point like don't have a lot of health. So the fact that he can health soak for you is actually really nice. I actually honestly like the fact that he only has 1 sanity because it makes him easier to get rid of. Because you can get rid of him with Ward of Protection. You can get rid of him with Shriveling, which is really nice. Because if he had 2 sanity, that would be like significantly harder. This is a problem I've run into in the past when trying to use Arcane Initiate. It has 2 sanity, so it could get kind of awkward to like get rid of it, because if you're testing at 7 against Rotting Remains, you're gonna have a hard time like hitting yourself for sanity sometimes. Yeah, you know, and yeah, she has 2, but David has 1, which means you can like at will, you could like I said, Ward of Protection, get rid of your David, you know, on the turn you need to. Bonus points if you manage to cancel the Ancient Evils that would have put you over, and then man, and then you know, then you get rid of the David, and then your team like hands you all beers for doing that. So Arcane Transmutation, players are going to throw their beers on you. Canceling Ancient Evils and defeating your David Renfeld in the process, players are going to buy you beer. So, obviously, one's better than the other, right?
Yeah. And David is one of those allies who continues to be exceptional.
Yeah.
Even to this day, I don't think there are many, many, if any, Mystic allies that really stand up to him. I mean, Arcane Initiate is very good because it draws you spells. But I can't think of many recent Mystic allies that really hold a candle to him. Sure. And if you're just looking for a Mystic ally to put in a deck, you can't really go wrong with putting a couple copies of David Renfeld in there. He definitely holds his value.
One thing I would like to note, because I messed this up way back when I first got started, you don't have to place you don't have to place a doom on David to collect resources. Because I used to think that, you know, when I was first starting, that you may place a doom meant that you had to place the doom to gain a resource for each doom on him, but no, that's not true. So if you put a doom on him, you can continue exhausting him for 1 resource, which is probably the recommended way to do it.
There's really no need to get overly greedy. There are occasions like the Witching Hour, like Nate said, where you can throw another Doom on there and grab another resource. And there are a couple of scenarios in the game where Doom is not advancing the agendas, and you can... David is a little busted in those scenarios, hence the cap of 3, but... Yep. If you're just using David to, you know, sort of have a nice trickle of resource generation, you're not breaking the game. Ratings?
Oh, Elder Sign easily. I think aside from like Arcane Initiate and all of McBride, like David is one of those allies who have to have a good reason not to be playing.
It's true.
Like Olive is like, okay, I want to be getting tokens out of the bag. There's a very specific purpose for Olive. But David is like just generally good, because when are you gonna
get a willpower?
When are you gonna not need a willpower boost, and when are you gonna not need resources to play cards?
Yeah, and don't forget the health soak, because it's nice. Like it's really nice for a Mystic who, you know, like we were saying, they don't have a lot of good allies, and even fewer of them have more than 1 health.
Yeah, I think the other important thing to note too is the fact that he costs 2. Fits really nicely with Shriveling. You play Shriveling at 3, David at 2.
Yeah.
And that's your turn 1. And then you have the extra resource. You go back up to 2 on your following turn, and then you can start playing the game again. You can play another spell on your following turn. Like, that really sets you up for success, and that's really important in this game.
Yep, Elder Sign, no notes. He's one of the best allies in the game for a very good reason. And if you have him and you are playing Mystic, then he probably should be in your deck, unless you are...
Just permanently sleeve him. Just permanently sleeve him. Sleeve him up and just put him in with your Mystics in your binder, right? Just put him right in there. Because you pick which Mystic you want, and then you pull your Davids, and then you're off to the races. You only need a 28-card deck.
Yeah, I've even considered playing David in Investigators like Jenny, because he
gives
you more resources and gives you that extra willpower boost.
Like, willpower's nice.
That's
true.
Not bad in Jenny. Like, you're getting an emergency cash every turn of resources with David.
Yeah, that's true. And then you've also got, like, Ashcan Pete, mm-hmm. for example. Like, you know, honestly, anybody you can. Yeah, the off-class possibilities, that's true. Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, you got me thinking. Like, Zoe likes willpower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and B-Cop's kind of expensive, so you can just do David instead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just basically any investigator can take it, can, like, consider it.
Yeah, and it's like, if you're going to take Charisma, like, David's an easy shoo-in a lot of the time.
True. Yeah, he's like, he's so Elder Sign-y that he goes beyond Mystics.
The next card we are going to talk about is St. Hubert's Key, Cleansing Fire. It's a 4-cost asset with a willpower skill icon, item, and charm trait. You get +1 willpower, +1 intellect, and -2 sanity. As a response, when you would be defeated by horror, discard St. Hubert's Key, immediately heal 2 horror, and it takes up the accessory slot. Thoughts about St. Hubert's Key?
You can die to this. Like, if what is killing you deals 3 horror over your allotted amount, you will die, which is really funny.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Generally, that's not the case, because the St. Hubert's Key is giving you a subtraction to your sanity. It's generally fine, but it's just funny to know that you could still die with this effect. But I like this card quite a bit. It's pretty good. It's expensive.
That's the one problem with it.
The stat boosts are pretty good, but I find that Holy Rosary is generally enough. And that's kind of the problem with this card.
Yeah, it's kind of true. The trick is, it's really a question of, are you going to use the intellect boost? Now, most Mystics, like your typical Mystic playstyle, is using willpower for everything, including investigate. So that's like why you would want the intellect. But if you're gonna do like a niche investigator that like uses intellect, then this is actually pretty good, because 2 stats is normally like a 3 XP card. But getting it for 0 XP, yeah, it's a little expensive, but you know, it's you're getting like a 3 XP card for zero XP, so like, yeah, I guess it costs a bit more.
If you have Renfield out, you can alleviate the resource cost.
And get even more of an intellect boost. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, this thing is actually like, this thing is quite good if you're using the intellect. Like, I've done this in the past with like Marie. I just have a thing. I just like Marie and using intellect. Same with like Norman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just, you know, you boost intellect from the accessory slot, you know, when it's really about. So it's really more like, don't look at it as you get +1 willpower and +1 intellect. You used to say you get +1 intellect !! Oh, and by the way, you also get +1 willpower. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If that works for you, then this card's pretty good. If that doesn't work for you, then just play Holy Rosary.
Yeah, I've played this card in Norman and Marie were the two that stand out to me, and I'm sure there are others. The price tag is steep at 4, and you're definitely going to need some sort of resource generation. But I think the implication here is that if you are playing this, you are not trying to use spells to do everything. Now, I haven't tried this in Amina yet. I don't think it made the cut in her. It is a charm. And Amina is 3s across the board, so she'd be 4s. So, might be worth exploring there. But it's really for me, it often just comes down to that 4 resources is steep. And I don't think Uncage the Soul is spells and relics. So...
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You can't use that to reduce the cost of this.
Yeah,
and so you really sort of need Renfield to help you,
or emergency cash,
but not alchemical transmutation.
No,
to afford this, and it does help. And it is, if the horror that you take doesn't kill you outright, you do heal 2, and then this card goes away and your sanity goes up back up to what it was. So you're kind of getting 4 sanity out of the deal, which is not bad. At least it puts a little bit of a bigger barrier between you and death than, say, cheat death does, when we talked about that one.
I guess it does protect you from taking like a bunch of direct horror, but you're a mystic. You're not taking a lot of horror, which is, you really aren't, like, because your willpower is so high. Yeah.
Yeah, and you generally have like 8-9 sanity. So exactly. It's like you're going down to like 6 or 7, and it's like that's usually enough.
Yeah, horror is not what takes you out.
Yeah. Generally, yeah.
One of the other uses for this card is to try to build the desperate skills deck around.
Oh, that's right.
Because it is reducing your sanity by 2 is one way to get yourself in desperate skill territory.
Yeah,
I believe Ashcan? I think Ashcan. Yep. Yeah, is desperate the one Ashcan, who often would use this to drop his sanity down into desperate skill territory. That is one option. So it's.
Yeah, we could talk about that a bit more when we get there. I mean, it does suffer from the problem of, like, you have these desperate skills, 8 of them, that basically turn off until you get your St. Hubert's Key. We could talk about that more when we get there.
Yeah, PETA has plenty of ways to deal with that, thankfully. Yep. And this is just kind of a nice addition to all of that, because it affects Duke as well. But I like St. Hubert's Key quite a bit. I've used it in Carolyn as well. Carolyn gets to
get
a little bit of money on the other end, which is nice. Yeah. She uses intellect, and she likes the willpower boost too. She can use spells to deal with enemies pretty reasonably. Now, shriveling is not a terrible option in Carolyn, so I like St. Hubert's Key for what it is. I think, like Matt said, like unless you're using the intellect, this card is not worth considering. But if you do plan to use intellect in some meaningful way, then this is worth considering over Holy Rosary.
How would we rate this one?
It lies between a 0 and a +1. I think the big crux for me is, one, it's unique, so only one player can use it. And the other thing is that it costs 4. It's expensive. You know, it's like, if you're thinking about your turn 1, this is the only thing you're probably going to play unless you also play Emergency Cash.
Yeah.
And that's not always going to line up, because then you're essentially relying on a 2-card combo, which I'm not a big fan of in Arkham. I'll land on a 0. I think it's okay, but I think it's a little too expensive for most decks to consider.
Yeah, I'd say 0 as well. Yeah, like I said, the main caveat is, like, are you making use of both stats? If you are, it's pretty good. 0. If you're not, play Holy Rosary instead. Yeah.
The other issue with it, specifically in Carolyn, is that she likes Hallowed Mirror quite a bit, and Hallowed Mirror takes the accessory slot too. So you're like, what do I do? Do I take this other card that's probably better for my deck, or do I take St. Hubert's Key, which is also good?
Or do I spend 3 whole XP on Relic Hunter? It's like, oh, God. Mm-hmm. You know, because now you're spending 3 XP on something that boosts 2 stats. So now you're back to square one, where you could just boost use 2 stats for the 3 XP. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that if this was a hair cheaper and Mystics actually cared about intellect boosts, this would go +1, or maybe even Elder Sign if it was, you know, really priced right. But I think just because of the way that the Mystic card pool has developed over the years, that, I mean, willpower is everything. Intellect is not, and I don't think there are enough Mystics out there who want both. I mean, there are a handful, but I wouldn't say this is the card you're building around, so I don't think it can qualify for blessed territory. So there are a handful of investigators who can really leverage this thing, but for the most part, it's kind of an odd card in the Mystic pool. So I think I'll go 0 as well, because as much as I have used this and liked it in certain decks, I just don't think it's versatile enough and cheap enough to make the cut most of the time. It's one of those, it always feels kind of like card 31 for me in a lot of cases, where it's just like, this is really good. but then I just end up looking at the price tag and being like, no, because once you get up to four resources in Mystic, you really need to have some sort of resource engine. And then you're looking at emergency cash, and then you look at the Mystic event card pool, especially now where you've got Spectral Razor and, you know, Read the Signs and Ward of Protection. And like, I could just go on and list like 10 events that you need two of in your deck, and emergency cash just starts to slip down the priority list pretty rapidly. So this one will get a zero from me as well. We are going to wrap up this batch of reviews with Astral Travel. It's a 3-cost event with a willpower and agility skill icon spell trait. Move to any revealed location and reveal a random token from the chaos bag. If you reveal a Skull Cultist, Tablet, Elder Thing, or Autofail symbol, you must discard an item or ally asset you control. If you cannot, you take 1 damage. So this is one of those cards that reminds me a lot of sort of that development philosophy where it's like, if rogues have elusive, where they can just move wherever they want, Mystics can do the same thing, but they're going to really pay the price for it. They're going to have to pay more resources. And of course, since they're dabbling with powers that they're not supposed to dabble with, there is the potential that this blows up in their face. That said, I have put this card in decks for very specific scenarios where it absolutely just wrecks those scenarios. I'm thinking Unspeakable Oath. This is really nice in that scenario because being stuck down in the jail cells and then being able to teleport out basically to the yard, I think is the location, is fantastic. Ruins of Etsli, this thing is amazing, of course, because suddenly you go from one end of the map to the other and you can get out. But that 3 resources is rough, but I don't think I've ever actually had this blow up in my face, to be honest.
Yeah.
But usually when you're playing it, it's like end game. So if you lose the ally or the item,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So,
right.
What do you guys think?
I was just going to say the same thing. Like, when you need this card, the cost does not matter. Right. Correct. Because you're breaking the game in half when you use a card like this. You're becoming Luke for an action.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, that's really the problem with this card is they made Luke the investigator and Luke just does all of this plus more for free.
As a fast action,
and you're like, why, God, why? But hey, listen, this is not the time or place to discuss that. As written, it's not terrible because, like you said, Man from Lang, the situations where you play this card, it the cost just doesn't matter. Like, if you have 3 resources towards the end of the game when you need to get out, you astral travel, and then you're out. Like, discarding an item doesn't matter. Discarding an ally doesn't matter. Taking a damage doesn't matter. Because you just resign the following action anyway.
Yeah, there is one hidden cost here, actually, and that is the attack of opportunity taken when you do play this. So if you are engaged with something and you don't have shriveling charges, or, you know, you don't want to spend actions, you just want to get out, right? You don't want to spend actions dealing with the enemy that's on you. Yeah, there is the attack of opportunity that's involved as well. So, yeah, you know, if you're low on health, this may not be the win button you need it to be, you know, for that reason. So then you're looking at another action to evade the guy. You know, before, you know, astral traveling out. Yeah, I think it's like, yeah, it's pretty good at what, yeah, it's pretty good at what it needs to do. Yeah, I mean, if you're playing Mystics and, you know, you're not necessarily just able to just bat away bad guys, or, you know, you're not like a rogue who can just like play cards that give you extra actions or anything like that. Yeah, this is kind of a catch-all for, yeah, dealing with some bad stuff. Yeah, it's not like over the top either, because like you do have the attack of opportunity problem. Yeah, which isn't bad. Yeah,
I think the problem with this card, kind of similar to St. Hubert's Key, is that it ends up being card 31 and 32.
Yeah, utility cards.
Yeah,
are like that in this game.
you don't need it in most scenarios, but the scenarios you want it, you really want it. And it's like you don't want to draw two of these things, you want to draw one at exactly the time you need it. And that's really kind of the issue with a card like this, is that granted you could use Arcane Initiate to dig it out if you really wanted to go that route, but you want to draw it when you want to draw it and no other time, so it ends up just kind of rotting in your hand because you can't even commit it reasonably because it has a bad icon spread, so
That being said, I like the Arcane Initiate idea because, like, if you're running Arcane Initiate anyway, then you feel pretty safe having one of these, because then, because then you're likely to get it by the time you need it, and then the fact that the Arcane Initiate was a fast action anyway, it's like, it's fine, like, because you know how Arcane Initiate is. You hit a point when like you've gotten all the spells you need, and you're just doing it just to do it. At that point, just pull the Astral Travel. Yeah, there you go. And now you're. And now it's sitting there for when it's time. So, I guess what I'm saying is like you could feel safe just including one copy and feeling pretty good about it because the Arcane Initiate will get it for you.
Yeah, I think like front half of TFA, front half of Path to Carcosa, you could keep this in your deck, and then in the later half of the campaign, you just take it out.
Yeah, but you've got the is it Pallid Mask?
Oh yeah, you gotta go back. You gotta, yeah, it's
And
true.
Black Star's Rise too, if you
Yeah.
guess wrong.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean,
So.
I think in the Path to Carcosa campaign, it actually has some utility
Yeah, it kind of does.
late into the scenarios.
Heck, even what's it? Actually, every scenario in Path to Carcosa involves like sometimes you gotta get from point A to point B, like Curtain Call.
Yeah, even
Depending
like
on,
Phantom of Truth to some extent too, when you're trying to chase the organist around, that can be kind of
Oh, that's
annoying.
true. Oh yeah, because there's no restriction. You could go to any revealed location, so you could jump on baddies. That's true. Rogue, yeah, Elusive can't do that. Yeah, okay, this is okay. It's not bad. Yeah, especially in Path of Carcosa, the campaign it came out in. Yeah, this is actually pretty good. Yeah, I was thinking because what ends up happening in Curtain Call. Not Curtain Call. Last King, often enough, is one of the party guests spawns on you, and it's like really tough, like four evasion. This will just help you just bail out. I mean, you'll take an attack of opportunity from like Candace, but usually what ends up happening in Curtain in The Last King is like it goes from everything's fine to everything's terrible, and then you just have to run away. And yeah, this does save you there because that's a lot because like evading like a four evasion, party guess is kind of rough. So just go away, just run away with this. Yeah, this card's pretty good in Carcosa. Yeah, the set it came in.
Yeah, I was gonna say, the more I think about it, the more I can see it being useful in Carcosa, like in the Echoes of the Past, when you've got one player on one floor and another on another, and you need them to reconvene somewhere. Astral
Oh,
Travel
it's
can
also
help you do
any
that.
revealed location. So you could just warp into the secret room.
Which is,
Okay.
I mean, come on, that's pretty cool. You just like
Yeah.
poof into the room.
Yeah, into the secret room. Yeah, you just like step out from behind a bookcase and you'd be like, "But was I here all along?" Oh! Yeah, not
So,
bad.
how would we rate this one?
It's like it almost feels like a not like a bless in the sense that you build around it, but a bless in that you really do consider what campaign you're playing when you put this card into your deck. And you do, I feel like you kind of really want Arcane Initiate as well. So then if you're not doing that, you're probably not playing Renfield. So it's tough.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like,
Ooh.
I feel like you're not explicitly building around this card, but you're building a deck that utilizes it in a particular campaign, if that makes sense. Like in
Yeah.
Carcosa, I can see this being useful, you know, when you draw it in most scenarios, but maybe outside, like other campaigns, you're not going to find as much use for it.
Yeah, it's kind of true because like Forgotten Age, most of them you explore, so you don't have like a big map that you need to move around. You have a small map that slowly gets bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some scenarios you definitely could use it. Like I
Oh
think like
yeah,
Echoes
sure. Yeah.
Threads of
Oh,
Fate
you're
would be.
right. Threads of Fate. Yeah, that's like the exception. It's like you're not. That's not the explorer scenarios.
And Doom and Vetsli too. It's useful in Doom and
Oh yeah.
Vetsli.
I'm just gonna go on the limb and say zero, because as with any like utility cards are kind of hard to fit in the deck. But if you fit this one, if you fit this one in, you'll find good uses for it, and you could play one copy if you're doing Arcane Initiate anyway, and you won't have to worry too much about not drawing it. Yeah, because that sucks when you play you run a utility card and then like you never draw it when the utility come you know the opportunity comes up, but it's a spell, so you shouldn't have that problem. So I'm just gonna go out on a limb and give it a zero.
I have been debating between 0 and plus 1. 0 because it is a utility card and it's kind of hard to find the space, especially as the card pool grows and the mystic events sort of just get so good that it's really hard to find space for this. But the effect of this thing can just wreck scenarios. And so I have a hard time rating it as a zero. So I'm going to go plus one because I think putting one copy of this in your deck, there are a lot worse cards that you could play. And I think even if you just have the one copy and you need to move somewhere, usually, movement is one of the key components of a lot of scenarios in this game. And if you were to say start a new campaign sort of blind and you had no idea what you were going to have to face, you can almost be guaranteed that you're going to have to move at some point. And so having this in your deck wouldn't be terrible. So I'm going to go plus one, but that plus one is largely due just to the power of the card itself. If I
Yeah,
was rating
okay.
it on like how many copies I'd want to play and stuff like that, it's closer to a zero. But I think the power for this one tips it over the edge because it really sucks when you get in trouble and you don't have a way to get out of it. And this isn't quite the cure-all that Elusive is, but it can bail you out and save you from suffering trauma, which is nice. That's going to do it for our first batch of Mystic cards from the Paths to Carcosa Investigator expansion. Let us know in the comments down below what you think. Any final thoughts?
A bad batch of cards, honestly.
Well, except for the first one.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. Well, I guess actually we did talk about that,
We
but
talked about it a lot.
yeah,
Yeah.
we don't continue
But
to talk about that.
we don't continue to
But
talk about it.
hey, St. Hubertsky, Renfield, Astral Travel, those are pretty solid cards, I think.
Interesting too.
Yes.
Nuanced, right? You know, just like you just talk about Renfield strategies. You could do a whole like blog post on, how to Renfield well. Yeah, no, interesting cards. Nuanced. They're not simple. Yeah. So, good times. I like this. Good batch. I like this set.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your other sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.